It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and I have to just pot up two microphones. There we go. In the center studio, we have Cynthia Hauswender, and is that who I think it is?
It is.
I knew that Ann would be in because it is not only a big, big section for her, but it's colorful. Lots of color.
I have 2.5 pages.
Why don't I hear you? Oh, I know why I don't. I know why I don't hear you.
Don't do anything. Just sit there.
Can you hear me?
There we go.
Can you hear both of us now?
Oh, so well.
Yes.
And live radio.
Let's bring in Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
All right. Nice of you all to show up here today.
We're so busy reading the paper, we almost can't pay attention to you. It's so great. What a great paper. Well, great stuff inside. Great inserts.
I would hope you would say.
Oblong books.
It's your job.
Loads of inserts this week. So, yeah, don't miss that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll start off with the Lakeville Journal, of course, on the front page. Democrats prevail in towns.
So Patrick Sullivan did a nice little wrap-up to the degree possible of the election, which is still bouncing around a little bit. There's a re-canvass of the votes in the 64th district that was announced yesterday by the Secretary of the State, and they're required to be done with that by Friday, end of day. So we should know. So we have early deadline coming up next week. We're going to be laying out the paper Monday and Tuesday instead of Friday and Monday instead of Monday and Tuesday. So we'll hope to have those results in on Monday. But if not, we'll get them on the internet as soon as possible.
Interesting about that race. It just is. It's a 51 vote difference, but it fluctuated even with the Secretary of State. Everything was meant to be filed by Wednesday, but the late tallies came in a little bit after the time on Wednesday. So
yes, and when we were counting up, because we still do it the old-fashioned way, we compare the registrar tallies against the Secretary of the State, what's posted there, we found a couple of discrepancies that were pretty significant. And so we're happy to see, you know, whoever wins, we're happy for them. It'll be great. Both of them are great candidates, but you know, in a time like this when we really feel every vote counts, we feel we're glad that they're double-checking.
All right. But throughout the rest of the state of Connecticut, the Democrats prevail. I mean, the Senate, the House, the governor, all the big offices.
Yeah, you could see it was definitely a strong a statement about how people feel the country is being run. And, you know, Johanna Hayes, we're so lucky to have her. Chris Murphy, we're lucky to have not just people voting Democrat, but voting for great candidates who are Democrats.
All right. And nice picture, 100 years after World War I ended.
Isn't that sweet? It's almost like that little girl is lit up. So that's Haley McGarry. I believe she's Jason McGarry's daughter, and I believe Jane McGarry's granddaughter, Jane, who used to work at the Lakeville Journal for many years.
All right. And then unknown territory in state politics post-election. That's true.
Right. So they're coming up in the annual legislative breakfast for the COG, and the COG is an organization of the 21 Litchfield County towns. And they get together, and they often will go meet with our state rep and our state senator and just kind of say, you know, hey, these are issues that are really important to us. We need more money for roads. We need fewer unfunded mandates. I would say the message has changed slightly over the years, which is good. It's not them continually asking for the same things. So Betsy Guerra from COST, the Council of Small Towns, was at the COG's last meeting. Patrick Sullivan attended, and she basically said, we don't really know what it's going to be like in this new administration. We'll have to see. We'll hope it's good.
And then you've got Bringing the World Home on Veterans Day.
So Richard Schlesinger, who's, you know, obviously a respected TV journalist, but also a Cornwall resident, has really been very active in the town and has lent his talents to a lot of programs. And the Historical Society often sponsors what they call community conversations. So they had a community conversation on World War I, its impact here, people's memories of it, and its impact on their families. And interesting story. And, of course, the centenary of the end of World War I.
Amazing. 100 years.
100 years.
100 years. Yeah. The Great War, as they called it, and it wasn't long after it ended that the Second World War broke out.
That must have been dispiriting.
To say the least. Yes. All right. Now, Sharon Hospital does have a community update again at the Sharon Town Hall coming up on Monday, December 3rd. But if you want to go to this, I think you have to register by November 30th.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure that they would be happy to have a large turnout if it's a question of, like, I didn't have a chance to RSVP, you know, come. But I think that they always, as with anybody who's hosting any event, they'd like to have a sense of how many people are coming. So it's Peter Cordeau, and obviously a very busy year this year at Sharon Hospital. A lot of changes going on, and a chance to ask some questions and hear their point of view on what's happening.
And Nature's Notebook, Tim Abbott, As Daylight Becomes Scarce.
Boy, yeah, another very poetic Tim column, sort of about the end of the season. And also, I don't know if you were out driving, I think it was 2 weeks ago, there was a day when all of a sudden the air temperature got really warm and the water started steaming on all of the local rivers. It was so beautiful. And the leaves were peaking. The sun was really bright that day.
All right. And inside, you have a story on the end of the Riley's Furniture closing, I think, December 31st?
Yeah, Caitlin Lyle from the Millerton News. So, and Janet, feel free to jump in. But so, you know, longtime family business, and the dad had retired, moved to Florida, moved back, and I think that they're finally shutting it down. And really, such an important store for our area for basic furniture. And he explains why, you know, people's shopping habits have changed. People are buying fewer new homes and furnishing them new. Sad loss.
Yeah. It was Block's Furniture originally, then Riley's Furniture. It's been around a long, 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 long time. Yeah. All right. Once again, we move on to Reunited Memorial during 1918 Armistice Day.
That's... We always kind of feel like, oh, Veterans Day is coming up, and we expect it to be like Memorial Day, and it's not. Memorial Day, of course, is really the big... You know, every town does something, and it's a really huge deal. Veterans Day is a little quieter, but a few towns did have services. Some towns have had more than one service. Most of the schools do it. Not all of the schools do something. In Kent, they had Armistice Day. Marty and Kathleen Lindenmeyer, who are very active in the town, relatively newcomers related to Darlene Brady, the wonderful town clerk there. And they have that beautiful war memorial there, and they've added some new plantings to make it even more beautiful.
You know, I was listening to somebody discussing World War One, how the difference between World War One and all the other wars. Mm-hmm. In World War One, all the damage and destruction was done around trenches, where troops were dug in and they would jump from the trenches. Very, about 75% less damage to buildings and towns,
civilians,
and housings and civilians.
Yeah.
But the way war has changed, it's all changed from that. The soldiers really did bear the brunt back then.
Yeah, and
amazing.
Really the halfway between the old days when they would have the troops lining up and the more guerrilla warfare of contemporary war.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you look back at World War One. All right, then you've got all the elections spread out on pages A4 and A5.
So we did our best. I will tell you, Alex Wilburn, Lidl Hawken, and I spent all day Wednesday tabulating the numbers. And as we said, there were some numbers that didn't quite match. So we used the Secretary of the State numbers as they were. I think it was Wednesday. We tried to update them as the numbers changed. But, of course, the best way to check what the final numbers are is to go to the Secretary of the State website. She did Denise Merrill does an amazing job of getting all the town clerks to report. But, of course, there were a lot of oddities this year. And of course, there's going to be a re-canvass. So.
And people get disgusted with what happens in Florida. But when you have just imagine having in one county 500,000 people vote. And so you take that, you take what happened here in the 64th, and you put it out to 500,000 people, and that's where you see where problems arise.
You know, and I have to say, every year we check the registrar tallies against the Secretary of the State, and until a couple of years ago, most of the towns didn't even bother sending their numbers in early enough to get them posted. So Denise Merle has really required them to send them in nice and early. But as a general rule, the discrepancy between the two candidates is so big, it doesn't, you know, you hate to say it, but it doesn't really matter if you get every single vote. But you can see in a race like this, every single vote actually made a difference. And I think that for democracy, that's a great thing.
All right.
And I will say, Cynthia has an article there, Recounts and Other Oddities at Local Polling last week. Do read that. It explains what happened in our office on that day. And
we have an update on our website at Tri-Corner News with the latest on the re-canvass that was announced yesterday.
It's like I said, that election night was one of the strangest I've ever worked.
And we've been hearing from all the town clerks afterwards, you know, this thing was wrong and that thing was wrong, and, you know, the ballots were wet in a couple towns.
Large turnout.
Yeah.
That's a problem
of absentee ballots
can be dealt with down the line, but it's a good thing.
Yeah. All right. We'll go right to page A6. Library Programs traces the sad life of an iconic humorist.
And really, it's a story in Sharon about somebody in Cornwall. But James Thurber, of course, one of the legendary residents of the Northwest Corner. And When I first moved here, I knew Mark Simont, who was just this incredible, wonderful, lovely person and was a wonderful artist in his own right. My daughter used to love the books that he illustrated, and I was fascinated to learn that he had taken over drawing for James Thurber, who had become blind at the end of his life. So Adam Van Doren made a documentary film in 2000, which they screened at the Hotchkiss Library. And it's like when you watch a documentary about your favorite comedian and you find out that they had a really hard life and were often very bitter. So I think that is the thumbnail sketch of who James Thurber was. But, you know, what a great contribution he made to 20th century American literature.
All right. And right below that, environmental experts says climate can be fixed.
I love this from Josh Ginsberg over at the Cary Institute in Millbrook. And, you know, he's a guy who really knows what he's talking about. And he sort of says, like, here's the problems. We've got this wrong. We've got that wrong. This is bad. That's bad. We just had this really discouraging climate report. But he says, it's not too late. Here's some stuff we can do. And he points out, which I loved, said, even if the U.S. government is not agreeing with the Paris Treaty, individual states and cities are, and I think that's a great reminder to all of us that we can all, you know, pollute less and use less electricity if we're really concerned about it.
All right, and of course, this is the weekend where Noble Horizons has their craft fair on Saturday and the Festival of Trees opening on Saturday.
It is such a great activity over at Noble Horizons. They've got the beautiful little tree display. Kids come in and out all day, and no matter what age you are, it's really, really sweet and fun. And, of course, it's all auctioned off. So people are often surprised when I say to them, don't forget, it ends on December 1st. But so the trees are auctioned off, and people will take them home for the holiday season. So do try to get there over the Thanksgiving weekend.
All right, nice picture of the Salisbury Central School salute to veterans. The North Canaan Elementary School, I think, has one coming up on the 21st.
Theirs is on the 21st. Yeah. If you want to participate, they want you to call the school and let them know. Talk to Denise Sorrell. Nice photo by Patrick. There's Bullet Sherwood looking very trim. And nice ceremonies again.
All right. And Patrick Sullivan has kind of fun story about students and the shark tank at SOAR.
Yeah, and actually really interesting idea. So they had the students come before a panel of judges and sort of come up with entrepreneurial ideas, which is not that different from the science fair projects they often do. But I have to say, I thought they were really good ideas. Summer camp for kids, for cooking, just some good stuff.
All right. We go on to page A9, Musical Greats at Gala. Now, this is the press release. If you've ever seen a press release, this press release really was impressive because this gala is really a big deal to raise funds for the Houstonic Musical Theater Society.
It is, and I'll put out a little complaint, which is when people send us press releases, it's really helpful if you put with the – because we get hundreds and hundreds of emails every day. And so we missed actually the first round of this because it didn't look like it was something local because it was so big. So it's Gala 2018 to support Houstonic Musical Theater Society, which is a great program that's been in revival for, I think, 15 years. They're going to be doing actually a Michael Berkeley original show this March called Rip Van Winkle. And they're going to have – so if you've never gone to a Houssie musical – performance, they're so fun, and the kids are so lively, and they're so jazzed, and Michael is such a great director and really brings the best out of the kids and just looks at them and kind of says, like, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. It's the most lively, fun, easy on the eyes kind of activity. So they've got 15 years of performances. They're going to be doing little bits from each show. They have alumni coming back. They're going to be people singing from the audience for the finale. It's going to be great.
All right. We have lots of different obituaries. Obituaries always, at this time of year, they always, towards the end of the year, obituaries seem to pick up. It really, when you look at it historically,
yeah,
it's a pretty amazing factor.
What we find is that people, not that I'm like this expert on death, but people tend to die around a meaningful date to them. So you find that people often die right around their birthday. People often die around an anniversary that was important to them. And as you know, they often die around the holidays.
All right. Some good news for the holidays, though. The SWASA Ski Swap and Sale is back.
Yes, and that's always a great sale. If you've never been, it's always fun to go just because you see everybody you know. But whether or not you need equipment, they always have great used equipment. And it's coming up on December 1st. It's always the first Saturday of December. They're going to have new stuff from different vendors. They've got downhill skis, boots and poles, cross-country skis, ice skates. I got an incredible pair of ice skates there for like $20. It's really great.
And for those of you who are enrolling in Medicare for the first time, for those of you who have been in it, we're in that enrollment period where you can change, and there's a help thing going on in Kent on Saturday.
Right, and also coming up, it's the Affordable Care Act sign-up, and Janet Carlson and her crew have a sign-up program. We've got it on, I think, I can't remember what page, but listed in here somewhere, and definitely very confusing, definitely great to have somebody just sit with you and say, click this, click that, turn, you know, sign this, do that.
All right. Let's go to the editorial page. The Salisbury Sharon Transfer Station. Still no easy answers.
Right. I hope everybody will have seen last week Patrick Sullivan's story that there is about an extra $1 million over what was expected in the bid for the new transfer station for these two towns, Salisbury and Sharon. So we talk about the challenges with that and how it can be approached. So give that a read, and by all means, let us know your thoughts in letters to the editor.
All right, and a nice guest commentary on James Buckley, Jim Buckley.
Yes, right. This is from Don Rosendale, his longtime friend, who also wrote for the Lakeville Journal at one time. So you'll read it, but it turns out that Mr. Buckley, let's call him either senator or judge, and as Mr. Rosendale says, he always says, how about calling me Jim? Anyway, very interesting life. Wonderful man, icon of the area, moving to be closer to family and friends in Maryland. So this is Don's farewell to him.
You know, it's interesting. I sat next to Mr. Buckley a couple of times over the years and had really great conversations with him. And I always remember back during the Vietnam War with my red, white, and blue American jacket protesting him on the green in Sharon. Whenever he rode by and shaking the sign at him, and then some 50 years later being able to sit and calmly talk and understand exactly really how truly great of a man he is, even though I had political difference with him. What a guy.
That's right, and that's a good lesson for us all right now, looking at the divisions. You know, if we can see each other and meet face-to-face, you might find we have more in common than we think.
No, I did laugh at the headline, Danil over Donald.
Yes, this is Dick Olive.
Yeah, it could be Dungeons and Dragons between the two of them.
Right. Really good column from Dick on the aftermath of the elections. And you can guess what it's about. We also we have two letters, one from each of the candidates for the 64th district. So we'll see if they have to run new letters next week or not.
All right. Well, at this point, because it's so big and so colorful, ladies and gentlemen, I want to we'll get to Tri-Corner Real Estate. Let's bring in Ann Day because I'm in a big session here.
Yes, I'm so excited. and look forward to many more big sessions because we go to Tabloid next week and the week after. In any case, we have There's a small gallery in Lakeville that we've written about several times, and mainly because the owner, Andrew Craven, is a very small space, but everything he shows is just top-notch, top-of-the-market contemporary artists. He has a show this month, which is there through Thanksgiving weekend, called Collage, and you should definitely go by. It takes about 5 minutes to look at, but it's just beautiful work, and there's a good review of that. There's also a new art show at the Movie House, which is five local artists, and you know, even if you don't make a special trip to the Movie House, it's so wonderful that we have art to look at if we get there a little early for the movie. And it's a really nice space to look at art. We also have a movie review of the movie with Melissa McCarthy and Richard Grant, and I'm going to say it right now, they both deserve Oscar nominations.
Anyway, they say Melissa McCarthy is totally out of the character you would expect her to be.
It's very, very unusual work by Melissa McCarthy. She portrays a really kind of cranky, angry, brilliant writer who's down on her luck and becomes a forger. And she hooks up with this dissolute, drunk guy who's just gotten out of jail, and they work together. But their performances are both absolutely riveting and brilliant. And it's not a happy movie. There's nothing happy or pleasant about it, but it's just gripping, and Leon wrote a review, and I see that he agrees with everything that I think about it. It was a great movie. And we have a wonderful story this week by Carl Salater, who's just always humorous, always a good writer, very smart guy, and he's writing about the Sharon Transfer Station from the point of view of an artist as going into a special art opening, and it's definitely worth reading. And then we also have something that I would like to promote, which is at Noble Horizons on November 20th, John Isaac, who was the former photographer, chief photographer for the UN, and one of my close friends and a great human being, is giving a talk at 7 o'clock November 20th about his life as a photographer. And he's now really, really working to try to save the tigers in India. So he'll talk about that a little bit. But he'll talk about his whole career, and he's extremely inspirational. And that's about it for this week.
It's actually a pretty busy week for being where we are, which is right before Thanksgiving.
Right. There's a ton of stuff going on.
Right, yeah. And I'll say in our Millerton News, you know, we have all the election news from New York State, too, but talking about things that are really coming to the fore now, Adopt-A-Family is starting over in Millerton, and Stacey Moore has put that all together with lots of help from volunteers for years now. It's a challenge for them this year because there's no more Saperstein's. And Lou Saperstein was extremely generous with this fundraiser that gave families clothing. They were able to go to the store and use you know, the vouchers that went out through Adopt-A-Family. Do give that a read.
Well, there's more than that. If you go to Adopt-A-Family, it's 100 families, 300 students and children are affected. If you want to donate or get more information, 518-789-4508. Also, the Sunday in the Country food drive is getting set. I think this weekend they hand out all the baskets to over 600 families for Thanksgiving. And they do it again for Christmas. 1,200 families overall get served, and it's good for like two or three meals each. If you want to donate to that, they're a 501c3 not-for-profit, 518-267-9865. And over the 25 years, then this is NASCAR Dave's last year.
Right.
Over the 25 years, they have raised, get this, almost $500,000.
Yeah,
it's when you look at that over. And the Adopt-A-Family hasn't been around as long, but it's the same thing. The amount of local good that they get.
It is. It's grassroots. Started up. It's the way people are around here. You know, as the holidays come around, they start thinking about everybody around them and what they might need. And this is just, the Sunday in the Country food drive and Adopt-A-Family and so many other organizations. These are the ones that really pull it all together and have helped so many families and children.
And Salisbury Bank and Trust even changed their they now have a fill-a-basket, their food drive, at all their offices because they used to just get toys and gifts. Now it's cash and food if you want to donate to feed people throughout the food banks throughout the area that you'll find a Salisbury Bank and Trust. It's pretty – it's the need is there, folks. We're a wealthy area, but the need is there. Now, speaking about wealthy area, we can't forget about the real estate.
Janet talk about it, but I just wanted to quickly say, speaking of that, you know, it's interesting because you tend to think of Tri-Corner as having the big glitzy properties, but there's a lot of houses in there that, you know, not such a great time if you're a homeowner, but if you're looking to sort of get that toehold by investing in your first house, there are a lot of houses in the area now that are selling for what seem to me like lower prices than I've seen in many, many years. There's a lot of houses in North Canaan and Norfolk. That are like under $200,000. So it's definitely worth, whoever you are, it's not just a dream piece. Tri-Corner Real Estate is really hardworking and a great place to get you started thinking about your future.
Whenever I think of housing, I think I was looking years ago for a house. I found a house, and I won't say what real estate agent it was, but I made good friends with them. And I said on the phone, I'd like to see the house. They said, oh, good, it's in the low hundreds. So I went out in a beautiful house. And the low hundreds was $350,000.
Yeah.
I thought low hundreds was like $120,000.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's a lot of money, no matter how you cut it. Yes. But there is a wide range of pricing in Tri-Corner Real Estate because, remember, it's a tri-state publication, and New York State, we have Havens Real Estate, we have other people, others of our realtors who have properties throughout the region, and you can find something to help house your family. And no matter what it is, if it's a $2.5 million property or $164,995 property.
Well, I think another story that you want to plug real quick for the Millerton News is about the town garage. What's been going on here with our landfill?
Yes.
There's a town garage that's needed in there, and it's been an ongoing thing, and it looks like with a little bit of state help, it's actually going to happen.
A little bit of state help, and it's been a long project. Yeah. Whitney Joseph wrote about this this week. It's right on the front page. And the town board, if Northeast, was recently awarded $240,000 as part of the Municipal Innovation Grant Program. And, you know, this is New York State has so many of these programs, but you just have to be able to tap into them and know what to apply them to, you know.
So folks in Lakeville and Sharon, even though this transfer station thing seems like it's a long time, this, and they have a garage that's falling apart. It's been going on as long, if not longer. So
it has, but yeah, it doesn't just seem like it's been a long time. It has been. But anyway, we'll get there.
Well, happy holidays.
Yeah, exactly.
So we won't see you next Thursday.
Yeah.
It's Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving.
And anybody who's sending us press releases or obituaries, if you're listening, send them in early if you'd like them in our issue the 22nd. And, of course, we're taking a few days off for Thanksgiving, so we're trying as much as possible to have, if you have, for instance, a press release for the issue the 29th, try and get it into us early because that way we can process it in time.
All right, well, then it's time for me to say happy Thanksgiving to you all.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Have a good holiday.
And we'll see you after that.
Thank you.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Of course, tricornernews.com on the web, tricornernews.com.